Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host, and we welcome you to the show. The call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. We're calling you live from Sweden. We've had an awesome day today, and first we want to welcome Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. It's a delight to be here once again. We're honored to share with you the ancient Aramaic principles of forgiveness, how to go inside yourself and literally delete all forms of hostility, fear, grief, rage, pain, drama, and trauma that the world says is life, because all of that stuff is not life. All of that stuff is death. If you go back to the ancient Aramaic, you hear the great teacher saying, I come to bring you life and bring it more abundantly. You notice he didn't say, I come to bring you religion, I come to bring you belief, I come to bring you some sort of dogma. He said, I come to bring you life. If you're engaging in something that isn't bringing you life, if you're engaging in something that is taking you into some form of hostility or fear, then know that you're living in an error, whoever is proclaiming to be telling you the truth. And our simple definition of a human life is hold a newborn child. When you hold a newborn, you know exactly what human life is. That's what you and I are designed to live as. That's what the ancient teacher named Yeshua, popularly known as Jesus, but his name was not Jesus, it was Yeshua. That's what he came to teach us, understanding, and to give the tools for embodying our human lives. Not to give us words that would keep us in fear and terror and trauma. And so what we're looking to do is to create a support system for ourselves and for every mind, heart, and being on the planet to learn and to understand that when I'm in hostility or fear, I have a problem. Though my mind will always show you that it's your problem, if I'm in hostility or fear, I have a problem. And when I recognize that I have a problem, then I recognize that I have work to do instead of the traditional I look at everybody else and see what's wrong with them and what it is that they need to do. And so we're looking to reverse the game of the world and to bring each person into harmony with the truth of who they are, the experience of this awesome presence of love that we're designed to live in, and the practical tools for embodying that. The core tool, the main tool, although we have a whole series of tools that we teach, the core is first century Aramaic forgiveness. Now, we've been taught in this culture and in too many cultures that the word forgive has got to do with how I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. If my mind, if my body is producing some form of hostility or fear, there is absolutely nothing for me to forgive you for. Hear that again, if you would. There's nothing for me to forgive you for. In fact, I can't forgive you. Please, if you're going to actually integrate first century Aramaic forgiveness, stop forgiving people. Because the truth is, you can't forgive anyone for anything. You can't forgive yourself for anything. The Greeks gave us an idea called pardoning. I let you off the hook because I'm in pain, which of course does nothing to address or change the root of my pain. And we've been told that that's forgiveness. That's a lie. That's not true. Letting other people off the hook for what's happening inside of you has nothing to do with forgiveness. I'll hear people that tell me they hear I'm doing this workshop. Why is this happening to me again on first century Aramaic forgiveness? And they say things like, well, you know, I've already forgiven everybody in my life, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my parents, my children, my spouse, my former spouse. Look, I've even forgiven my future spouses. And here's what I know from that language. Whoever's saying those insane things has not done one iota of forgiveness. Not the slightest bit of forgiveness has been done if you are talking about how you've forgiven another or you've forgiven yourself. Yes, you've done some pardoning work, and that's a nice thing. Actually, pardoning someone when there's something painful going on inside of you can be a mechanism for disconnecting your pain from your brain's image of them. So your relationship with them can improve as a result of pardoning them. But if you call letting somebody else off the hook for what you're experiencing internally, forgiveness, then you won't take the next step and actually enter into the forgiveness process. So if you've done something really crazy, bizarre, and off the wall, and I choose pardoning, then if I accurately call that pardoning, I let you off the hook, and now I'm done with that part of it, then I'm required, if I'm going to actually enter into forgiveness, to go inside of myself, recognize the root of my pain, find the root of my pain, which is exactly what Aramaic forgiveness does, and remove my pain. Forgiveness is a delete key. Forgiveness is about removing from your mind, your body, your emotions, everything that does not support your human life. And that means that you're going to wend your way through your genetics. You're going to deal with the issues of grandma and grandpa and mom and dad and great-grandpa and great-grandma all the way back. Every hostility, every fear, every grief, every loss, every pain is born and bred in us. In this device that we call a body-mind unit, which is really nothing more than a multi-generational database. That multi-generational database will attempt to run your life. Your culture has taught you to allow that multi-generational database to run your life. If you do allow that, then you are firmly rooted in this world and you are of this world. If you go back to the man named Yeshua, he spoke of being in this world, but not of this world. If you have grief, rage, pain, or trauma in you, somebody's going to show up in your life that will resonate that for you. If you live in denial, and denial, we have a very specific functional definition of denial. If I have something going on inside of me, something I'm feeling, something I'm experiencing, and I talk about you as cause, you made me angry, you made me sad, you made me afraid, then I am in this world, and what you have done will resonate that in me, which is traumatic, and I will be run by that trauma. If I stay stuck in that cycle of denial, by speaking of you as the cause of something that's happening inside of me, I'm now locked into a dissociated state. The part of my mind that produces my pain and my trauma is now hidden from me. I am dissociated from it. And it doesn't matter what I do, unless I forgive, all the wishing, hoping, praying, and planning isn't going to change. Remember that old song title, wishing and hoping and praying and planning? Not going to change one iota of your dissociated mind. You can sit around and do all the study and all the critical thinking you want. You can have the highest degrees in the land. You can have so much figured out that every university in the world has applauded you and told you how great you are. And you still haven't touched your own dissociated state. How do I know that? Well, just notice when the stress is up and the chips are down. You're back in your rage, your grief, your pain, your fear. You're back doing behaviors you wish you'd never heard of and never done. The reason for that is because all the wish and hope and pray and plan and studying, intellectual masturbation, all that you want to do is not going to change the content of your dissociated mind one bit. There is one thing. There is one place on planet Earth that in 45 years of study, I've discovered a man who knew exactly how to show you how to go into that dissociated part of your mind and clean out its content. Not an easy guy to follow. He says that if you actually engage in the work he does, you'll actually have a human life and you'll function out of that human life. And the way he expressed that is, you will love those who hate you, you will do good to those who despitefully use you. Yes, if you have no hostility or fear in you, and someone shows up doing crazy time, you will be the space of love. You will not render, or pardon me, you will not surrender your human life. You will stay active as a space of love, and everything in your world is going to change. You will be in this world, but not of this world. Not an easy place to go, not an easy piece of work to do. It is a lifetime of work. And the Aramaic forgiveness process is how to access that dissociated part of the mind, how to collapse the projection, the pictures in your mind that your pain is about what somebody else did, and how to change that part of your mind. If you're not familiar with or haven't acquainted yourself or need to be reacquainted with the forgiveness process, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org. And in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see a link that says Start Here. Click the link. Or there's actually a red and white bullseye in the middle of the page. Hit that bullseye. It will open a whole series of links. The first one is Chapter 24 of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? You are certainly welcome to download the whole book in any one of several languages off of the website. But in particular, Chapter 24 explains the forgiveness process. The second link is an actual link to the worksheet, the step-by-step, how do you change that part of your mind. There are copies of the worksheet on the website, I know, in French, in Farsi, in German, in Russian, in Spanish, and of course in English. Lock into that worksheet, print it off, start putting the pen to the paper. If you need instructions for doing that, the next six links are radio shows where we've walked somebody through the whole forgiveness process. We invite you to tap in. They're free MP3 downloads. Just right-click on them, save them to your computer, and then put it on your iPod or your iPhone or your Android phone, whatever, and listen. Learn the process of forgiveness. Then, once you've learned it, the trick becomes applying it. Many people like to play in the intellectual realm. They're addicted to their intellects by the world. And so they think they've got it figured out. Oh, I understand that. But understanding it has nothing whatsoever to do with doing it. What we invite you to do is actually put the pen to the paper and do the process. And as you do, you will likely develop questions as you go through the complexities of your own mind. It may even appear to you that the worksheet is complex. The worksheet is simple as ABC, but the mind can make it so complex because the mind has been purposely filled with complexities to keep us confused, to keep us off balance. Because when we're in confusion, when we're in hostility or fear, and we're off balance, we make awesome slaves. We make great servants. The way to restore yourself to creatorship is through forgiveness. And so once you start putting the pen to the paper, then we're here 5 days a week, an hour a day, to have a personal conversation with you. And we certainly appreciate Dr. Tim and Michelle for tapping in when we need the support. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be traveling quite a bit and not going to be able to be on the show, so you've got some awesome support there. So, Jeannie, do we have Dr. Tim? Do we have Michelle with us today?
They are both with us, and we also have a couple callers already, but let's first say hello to Dr. Tim and Michelle.
Cool. Well, let's say hello to Michelle first. How do you be, young lady?
I be quite well this morning. I'm on the radio show every day, regardless of controlling switchboard or not. So I've got your back while you guys are out of the country.
Cool. Well, we're delighted that you're here. Do you have anything to share with us?
No, I will. I'll keep quiet for now.
Okay, cool. Well, Dr. Tim, how do you be, young man?
Doing quite well, thank you.
Awesome.
Very nice intro.
Anything
enjoyed
that. Happening in your world or your practice?
Well, the biggest theme this week has kind of been like a tsunami, this particular theme, and it's low self-esteem. People who are bright, intelligent, talented, attractive as far as social standards go, employed, and actively, not necessarily constantly, but consistently thinking thoughts about how they're not doing it well enough, they're not good enough, they couldn't survive in a different job, they couldn't survive in a different relationship, even though they're not happy with the current relationship. All just a whole passel full of negative thoughts about their true nature and about their abilities and about their functioning in relationships. And it's been pretty powerful all week long. I haven't had a single day that didn't have multiple patients battling that issue. So that's the theme, and of course I'm blessed to be able to present to them tools like the ones you have on your website and the things that we do in the support group, because each and every one of them is designed to first clarify, uncover and clarify what those things are, those beliefs and energies within the individual that are less than love, and then help them remove them so they are returned and restored to a conscious awareness of their true nature. But boy, it's been a big pattern this week.
Interesting. Well, we haven't been dealing with that at all here in Sweden, so I'm surprised. I'm shocked that you are. But
I thought you were working on that sarcasm business.
Well, it's interesting that if you look at the ancient teachers and you look at today's world, you look at all the self-esteem training that's going on, and it's like trying to layer chocolate over top of a mud pie. You know, just don't let that child ever think or know that he's failed, and then you'll have self-esteem. And of course, what you do when you do self-esteem training is you breed monsters, because if underneath the surface there's that hostility and fear-based mind, and you layer it over with some sort of positive thinking and positive imagery, then sooner or later that which lies under the surface is going to come through. And as you say, the solution is handing somebody the tool with which they go into themselves and remove the thoughts, the feelings, the programming, the generational ideas, and sometimes the cultural ideas. You know, here we are in Sweden, and over the last several months, we've had Peter call in a couple of times from Sweden and talk to us about the Jantala, which is, in effect, poor self-esteem training, teaching people that they're hopeless, they're helpless, and life will never go anywhere. And so it's interesting that you bring that up this week in particular while we're here in Sweden, because that's the whole training of the culture, is to be in that state of self-deprecation, and putting a positive thought about yourself on top of it is a million miles from the solution. The forgiveness process is what allows us to go inside and address and remove every generational thought and literally every generational pain that holds us out of the truth of who we are. And then, of course, getting the experience of the truth of who you are is also very positive and powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just, it's the probably the single factor that lights up my life each week in that support group and the individual times when it happens in sessions. It's what makes the long hours and the process worth it all.
I certainly understand. Well, Jeannie tells us we've got some callers in queue, so let's say hello to our callers. I know that Nene had texted me, and she shared in a text that she had breathed, I guess, a family and had some miraculous generational healing occur. So I don't know if Nene's there, but let's say hello to her if she is, Jeannie.
Hey
there, young lady. Welcome.
Hello, this is Nene.
Hey there, how are things in South Florida?
Oh, well, very wet. It's been raining.
They're raining. Well, we've just had a beautiful day here in Sweden, and isn't this technology amazing? Here we are sitting in west of Stockholm in Sweden, and here you are sitting in South Florida, and Dr. Tim is in Chicago, and Michelle is in Lansing, Michigan. Here we are just having a gay old time chatting.
Yeah, it is wonderful. Indeed, it is.
So you had something to share with us. What happened?
Yes, well, I'm going to share, and this is like an opera in three acts. So
Say it again. It's like a what?
Opera in three acts. Like act number one,
act number two, an opera.
But they have,
okay.
It's wonderful. It's a good, the end is just beautiful. So the first that I wanted to say is if you remember, I've been in Venezuela a couple of times last year and this year. And I put a lot of emphasis in the teaching and also in breathing my daughter and part of her family on the father's side. And so I did. I was very successful. I breathed, I think, six members of the family. So that would be my father-in-law,
right.
Lucia's godfather, and a sister, and another sister-in-law, another cousin, and another cousin, five or six people. But I thought it was very interesting to breathe the father, of course. And as you recall, I told you that Lucia's father, my ex-husband, he had been suffering for endo-depression. That's how the doctors say, like an internal chemical deficiency. And he became a hermit. A real hermit, somebody alone,
right. Separate,
in his mind, he would do things nobody would do normally. Stop eating or stop sleeping or walking 4 hours a day nonstop. Something that are insane. Okay, so I did my breathing of my people. I continue my worksheet. It's 2,547 yesterday. Plus owning my internal realities and my feelings. And then 2 weeks ago, I had a dream. In the dream, I saw an angel, and a beautiful angel, and he asked me, what did I want? So in the dream, I remember telling the angel that I wanted my heart to be clean and to remove all the pain so I could have a good, wonderful, romantic love partner relationship with this man. Those were my words in the dream, but I couldn't see the person. But I remember being very, about the heart, knowing that the heart is the unconscious mind. So in the dream, the angel says, invoke your internal power, and then ask. But the angel put his wrist together with my wrist. So there was like a left hand to left hand, but just the wrist. And he said, invoke, and ask. So I did. I did my internal prayer to Ruach HaKodesh to clean and everything. Okay. So the angel left, and when I turned my head, I saw an image of Lucia's father wearing shorts, and his hair was just thick and awesome and long, just like yours, Michael. You have beautiful hair. Okay, so that was the dream. So 2 weeks later, that 2 days ago, my daughter called from Venezuela. Said, "Mommy, I have something to tell you." And I said, "Why? What happened?" I said, "Well, you won't believe this, but my father, all of a sudden, had like a clarity in his mind. All of a sudden, he realizes that he needs help, and he wants to reconnect with life, with the family, wants to be, well, I would say the actual words, no, forgiven, you know, which is he wants to offer his apologies and wants to be pardoned. And he wants to talk to you because he also wants to make it up for you. And, you know, he's been coming and he wants to change. He wants to change. Yep.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Very.
Was that 3 years you've been working around that issue?
2 years, yeah, because it's 2 years that I finished, I completed the work. I started in 2011. And then last year, that's when I went to Venezuela for, remember the whole summer, 3 months? And I lectured.
Right, yes.
And that. And then this past spring, also, I did a lot of work. And I remember in my workshop, I have a lot of emotions now. I had a lot of mothers and daughters and sisters
Slow down.
Yeah.
Take a breath and just be with what you're feeling, with what's coming up. And be careful of the tendency when something starts to move to cover it over with a lot of words.
Yes, yes.
And just be safe enough to go inside and feel that. And know that you have a whole family of people all around the globe right now that are listening. They're holding the space for you. So what are you feeling? What's happening?
Well, I feel a lot of pain and feelings of abandonment. Yes.
Probably the very things that he's getting ready to apologize for.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, and I in the last 3 days I've been feeling this, and I've been breathing. Oops, I'm just busy. Let me get hold of something here. Yeah. Guilt.
And what about self-abandonment?
Yes, yes. Self-abandonment. Disconnection.
So if there's anybody else that's listening, wherever you are in the world, we invite you to join in breathing with Nene. Perhaps some of those same emotions surfacing for you. And if so, we just invite you to focus in doing a love exchange with yourself, you know, visualizing yourself in the mirror and just sending the deepest, clearest love that you can to yourself. And allowing the safety and the support for these things that are locked away in physiology to soften and open. Because they're the energies that create what the world calls the chemical imbalances that the world sees as cause behind what's expressing in the structure. And those things that are going on within the structure are no more cause than because you listen to Mozart on a radio, it's the radio's the radio is the cause of Mozart having written that symphony. All the radio is the vehicle of expression. All your physiology is a vehicle of expression. If there are distortions, and you can bring love present into those places where there are those distortions, then healing occurs. And it behooves us as individuals and as a community to be able to tap into those things and to let them go. So what's happening, Nene?
I feel a lot better for more than you.
Awesome piece of work. You've moved through so many layers and created so many monumental shifts and changes in your life and in your world. It's really awesome.
Yeah, so well, so when this happened and I told my daughter that it was true, that me too, that I was aware of my past errors, and I was happy that Oswald was open to talk, and because I'm also willing to listen and to apologize for my part.
That's pretty awesome. Well, I will. I would love to be a fly on the wall when you and he have a conversation and begin to clean this up. And I would invite you perhaps to email him a copy of the commitment and express your willingness to live in that commitment with him. And invite him to be able to move into the same. And that may, you know, if he's been that isolated from the society and from the family, it may be difficult for him to find a framework or words to start to clean up what it is that he wants to clean up. And so the commitment may be supportive and assist him in being able to open that space of love and to do that. So that's. And, of course, in the meantime, we're holding the space for it.
Thank you. Well, he doesn't have an email, of course. But I'll send Lucy another copy, and I will ask Lucy to print it and give it to him.
Fabulous. All right. Well, is there anything else to share or any other way we can support you?
Well, for now, this and... together, I've been working on prosperity missions and everything on Like Itself is coming up. So please open
right.
a space of love because I have some people who I've been working this and I haven't received the payment and so I'm behind in everything. So that's it.
Well, we hold the space for the abundance that you that whatever it is that holds abundance of relationship and the presence of love in your life dissolves so that you can resonate that into your space. And whatever it is that would withhold finances in your life, that you open the energetic patterns that that block finances and you're able to forgive those patterns so that the natural abundance of life flows to you as it's designed to flow to each and every one of us. This might be a good time to review the DVD on creating consciously.
Okay.
You might find at this juncture that might be helpful.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
thank you.
We hold the space, and we look forward to seeing you when we get to South Florida.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and I want to say hello to everybody in the team. And thank Dr. Tim as well. He's been a great support, and I love to listen his speeches and comments in the radio when you can. and it's wonderful to be part of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Nene.
All right. Blessings. Thank you, Nene. Awesome. And I know, Dr. Tim, you've been supporting Nene with some communication. Do you have any other input for Nene or any comment around the whole process that would help all of us to understand on another level the dynamics of healing these kinds of issues and what leads to this kind of opening? I know you've been really strong support for Nene.
Well, I think I just have to echo what you said. You know, understanding the healing crisis and the process of when I let my vitality get restored, when I do the right things, I reach a new high, and then other old gunk comes up. My inner wisdom knows, oh, good, Tim's got the vitality to deal with some deeper levels of trauma and maybe some deeper levels of genetic inherited gunk. And so it can seem like everything's falling apart, and the tendency I have then is to want to fall back to the old habits, numb this out, get distracted, and that's, you know, what's really needed is for me to keep doing the things that brought me there, keep doing my prayer work, my eating properly, my resting well, having balance in my life, doing the worksheets, doing the breath work, and not giving in to the illusion that this disruption is anything permanent or is a reflection of my true nature. And so I ride through the rougher times much more quickly and easily. And I think it's an excellent suggestion to watch that video of where, you know, on Creating Consciously, and there's a wonderful visualization in there that helps me, every time I do it, get in touch with another level of my own resistance to abundance and gives me a target for something else to dismantle. So that would be my input.
Cool. Nice one. And, you know, you resonate a thought, too, and that is that one of the games of what we call the non-being mind or carbon-based memory, once it latches into an energy, a frequency, and produces a reality, it's like it is structured to convince us that that reality is permanent, is never going to go away, is never going to change, that it is the truth. When the truth is, if it's based in hostility or fear, it has no choice but to go away because it's totally and completely based on holding on to, pardon me, a false frequency, a false energy. And so, but its game is to convince us this is permanent, it can never be changed, and I'm going to have to live with this forever. Nothing will ever change it. So good thing to bring up and to remember. And then when you're working through one of these layers, as you breathe and you're willing to let go of it, to recognize that once you've let go of it, you've let go of it. You can go back and grab it and go back to the old way of thinking and reproduce it, but to recognize that, no, the only thing that's permanent is the active presence of love. The only thing that's real, the only thing that's true is the active presence of love. And the mind will try to convince us when we're locked into something else that whatever that thing is the real truth. And it's all a lie. It's all a fraud. And it's such an excellent fraud that gets played out that many people literally lose their whole lives to it. So good reminder. So, Jeannie, do we have any other callers or anything happening in the chat room to be aware of? Anybody with a hand up in the call queue?
We have four hands up, and the chat room is just kind of bouncing back and forth, but I just got an email from Sally, and she's gotten two more ladies say that they're about 95% sure they're coming to the Women Healing Women, so that's phenomenal.
Cool.
And
congratulations.
Yeah.
It's going to be an awesome weekend.
Yes, it is. And for those,
tell you what, why don't you give us the details of that in case there's anybody ready to jump in? Because if she's got two more people, I think that puts you down to just one or two spaces left, doesn't it?
That leaves us three spaces. So this is going to be in Pompano Beach, Florida, and it starts on Thursday evening around 5 o'clock, and that's on November 21st. And we'll complete on Sunday around 1 o'clock on November 24th. So you only will have to take one day off work, and that's on that Friday. That's the week before Thanksgiving, and it's women only. It's Women Healing Women, and it's going to be a powerful, awesome 4 days. And Lenore's coming down to do all live raw food, so everybody will be vital. We're going to do breathing as well, so it should be a really cool weekend. And we're down to about 19 minutes, and we do have four callers. Our first one is Mitzi. You're on the air, girl. Hi.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome. Are you with us, Mitzi?
Yeah.
Oh, hello, Mitzi. How are you?
Well,
we're not hearing you.
Okay, Rex is calling in on the other line, so perhaps his phone is working where hers isn't. Let's try Rex's number. Is this Mitzi or Rex?
This is Rex, actually, and Mitzi is out
back
with
the lawnmower. Hey, we missed you yesterday on the show.
Pardon me?
I say we missed you yesterday on the show, and Michelle
yes,
kind of gave us a fill-in on what happened in the prison.
Yes, I don't know what she shared because she and I have not had a chance to share. She was on business calls all the way back, and I don't know what she may have had as an experience there, but it was very powerful, as it is always. We're moving and grooving, and she was it was a blessing to have her there.
We did make the announcement that we really could use some help from someone who can do the data entry to get the personal code evaluations of the prisoners into a spreadsheet so that we can upload them to the website. So we
Michael?
Haven't heard from anybody
Michael?
Here. I don't know if you have yet.
Michael, actually,
go ahead, Michelle.
Hi, Rex. Hey, listen, Shirley from our MindShifter support group on Tuesday night shared with me yesterday that Rick had approached her and she had committed and she has already begun doing some data entry, as far as I understand.
Yes,
awesome.
I actually.
All right. Thank
she
you,
is,
Shirley.
As we speak, Michael, you and I had talked, and then I called Rick right away as soon as we finished talking, and he introduced her to the group. I wasn't able to be there, and then Shirley right away texted me during the group, and so we were communicating during the group when I was doing what I was doing, and then as soon as I finished my commitment, I called her and we set up a time, and I took all the material to her yesterday at lunch, and she started working on it last night. We talked a couple times on the phone last night, and she thinks there's a good possibility she could get most of it done by this afternoon or tonight, and then I would pick it up tomorrow, and whatever she can't get done, I'm going to get after and hopefully get the rest of it done. And what do I do once I have all that information so I know how to get this process? Because it's very important that I get
okay.
it to Tuesday's evaluation.
Okay. So she's got the spreadsheet and she's putting the data into the spreadsheet?
Correct.
Okay. So all she has to do when she's complete with it is email the spreadsheet to us and we'll take care of it from there.
Perfect.
So you don't have to pick it up or do anything with it. If she just emails that completed spreadsheet to us, we'll take care of getting it uploaded to the computer and have the results.
Michael,
on the website.
Shirley's, yes. Shirley's listening today, so maybe you could acknowledge that. She's listening right now.
Thank
oh, cool.
you, Shirley.
Well, I think we just did and said thank you, Shirley. That's awesome.
Yes,
that's really cool.
Absolutely.
And yeah. Yeah, it's
awesome.
You know, it takes
up.
Well, you know, to pull off something the size of this project, literally where our commitment is to take it to every mind, heart, and being on the planet, it's not something that I or Jeannie and I or Jeannie and I and Rex and Mitzi or Jeannie and I and Rex and Mitzi and Tim and Michelle, it's not something that we can do. It's going to take literally more and more people every day who say, I'm willing to put some energy into this because it's worth doing. And Shirley, we certainly appreciate you stepping up to the plate and being willing to support us in that. And what that will ultimately support, of course, is getting the assignments. Hopefully, if we can get this done and in their hands by next week, then every prisoner will have the benefit of having the specific assignments that they need to know exactly how to make use of their time in the Laws of Living course over the next 15 weeks. So that's pretty awesome.
Yes, and thank you again for the suggestions, and Shirley, thank you for doing the hard labor work as far as the pushing of the buttons and putting the numbers in. And thank you, everyone. Nene, it was great to hear your voice and to hear you. I've missed you being a part of our verbal community anyway. I know you've still been a part of it on the other, doing your work and such, but it's nice to hear from you. So that was also wonderful. And the process I've observed, and I'm not sure again what Michelle you did share, because I haven't had even a moment to listen to the program. It's been pretty nonstop in my world and my life. My experience of what we did is we had a very powerful session, and Michelle did share with me that, one thing I did learn is to call her Mrs. Pache. It's a very big issue in the prisons to call everyone by their last names. I got a fair amount of information from the chaplain about the importance of that again. So I am definitely going to work on that and be conscious in that. Ms. Pache, Mrs. Pache. So that's kind of cute. But, yes, it went well. I thought and felt what I've been observing when I'm sharing is noticing the pockets of individuals that are especially spread out in the level two prisoners, because this time in level two we had 34 participants, which is the most we've had in level two. And it was really exciting to see that large of a group, and that's how many evaluations we got. We actually got 35 evaluations. I'm wrong. It was 35. So that's exciting, and we've got about 19 or 20 for the level four, which the chaplain's going to offer it again, and we may have more come in this time, and then we'll do more evaluations. And so it's been quite a dancing through all this. And Michelle, I acknowledge you for stepping up and joining the team so avidly, and Bill, if he's able to listen in, if he's going to hear this in archived, for Bill Costantino and all the work that he's doing with the HP3 program with Heartland, and all the effort he's putting forth to support the prison work. And so everybody that I am seeing in our support group stepping up, and, you know, it's just exciting to see that. And I have felt incredible at times joy and bliss, and then at other times feeling dramatically overwhelmed. And so it's a blessing to be a part of this community, because I feel the support and the strength from the community as well, and I really appreciate it.
Well, we certainly, Rex, support you in healing any capacity for overwhelm that you have, so that even though the project is 1,000 times bigger than all of us put together, that all you have to do is the next piece of the puzzle and forgive overwhelm and move forward with all of your resources available, ready to take it to the next level. So that's pretty awesome.
Thank you. And that piece on healing overwhelm when it comes up, it's one of those I've observed. It resonates a 77 times 70 number, something like that, or something. You know,
that one.
So I've watched it come up, and I've watched layers come up. And Tim, that's the other piece I wanted to acknowledge before we move on to another caller, is that it's so important to recognize that these are just issues, and Michael, you were saying as well, these are issues surfacing. And I had felt so strong that it was like, and so clear on this, that even while it was coming up, I'm going, am I really buying into this? What am I doing here? You know, I mean, am I really personalizing this? And the answer was, yep. And I went, okay, I'll breathe, you know, and I'll do my work and so forth. So I and it's all related to vitality. Is so essential, because what I've been doing, and Mitzi and I both been doing for the most part, is we came back from the Heartland this time, and we have set a day each week where we prepare all our foods for the week. And it's so awesome to go into the refrigerator and have 4, 5, 6 amazing dishes that we've made with love. And, you know, most of which are raw. I even got some of the rice shipped from California that's grown in Italy, and we're able to soak that and eat that raw as well. And just vitality-wise, I've really noticed a shift, and it just keeps increasing and increasing. And along with it is the stuff that surfaces. I've looked at things that I haven't really been looking that closely at for quite a long time, and I would have, if someone had asked me and said, yeah, I feel pretty clear on that. I've learned not to say I'm done with that. But so thank you, everybody. That's the input. And I know we have about 10 more minutes, and we have some more callers, so God bless everyone. I'll listen in on mute. Thank you so much for everything.
All right. Cool. And, you know, it is one of the stages in the healing process. If one's going to function as a true human being, generations and generations, when you look, we actually had an interesting day today. We went through the Viking Museum here in Stockholm, Sweden. And yesterday, this was the National Museum we went through today. And then yesterday we went through another museum that showed a lot of the historical developments in the culture here and the life that people lived in this climate. And when you look at some of the things that our ancestors have been through, just to do something as simple as to put a meal on the table for the next day could be massive, mega overwhelm. Just to survive another day could be huge. And to recognize that that's in our ancestry, that's in our physiology. Being in this world and of this world, when those things are triggered, then the overwhelm tends to take over. When I can become the thinker apart from the thought, the feeler apart from the feelings, the actor apart from the actions, then I can step back from those things. I can observe my carbon-based memory wanting to drag me into those issues, those realities. And I can step back and collapse them. And Rex, you know, you have some idea with the level of work that you've chosen to take on. But when you talk about that overwhelm, and I look back over the last 45 years at what it's taken to get this work to this stage, I've been through so many layers and so many levels of that, that it's uncountable. And what I've learned is that what I do is I clear my mind of the million things that it could be focused on, that have to be handled, that need to be handled, that should be handled. And clearing the mind, I then have all of my resources available to handle this one, whatever's in front of me at this moment. And when I do that, I regain my resources. When I actively engage in the forgiveness process, I regain my resources, and I get to be in this world, but not of it. That the world doesn't source the frequencies that run my being. The world may source frequencies that resonate something that I need to heal out of my non-being mind, but if I choose to remain living in my human beingness, in the truth of who I am, then those layers are just layers that come up, and they're just there for forgiveness. They're there for healing. And many people want to engage and be done, you know, like, okay, I got $5 in 5 minutes. Tell me everything you know. And by the way, I want to be done yesterday. And this is not a process that you're done with yesterday. This is a process that opens layer by layer, piece by piece, as you do your work, and you're vital enough to handle the next piece of the puzzle. It won't come up until you're ready to do that. And that's part of building this community of vitality and aliveness. And so I appreciate everybody who's putting one foot in front of the other and putting the energy in. And, you know, you acknowledged Bill, and we haven't heard from Bill for several days on the show, but Bill really stepped forward this summer at Heartland and put forward an offer of organizing. You know, Bill's a pretty accomplished businessman, and it literally, when we got back to Heartland this summer, was kind of part of that, some of that overwhelm of getting the property ready, getting the buildings ready, getting food ordered, getting everything in order to do the summer intensives, was just getting to the point with editing 4 books, setting up this European tour, and, you know, being on the road, all that goes with that, was getting to be more than we could handle. And I had put out the consideration that this past summer might have been the last year at Heartland. And as a result of that, Bill stepped forward and said that he's going to organize, and several people who were at the Laws of Living Intensive jumped on board. You heard Rex mention the 3H program, the Healthy, Healing, Happy Heartland program, and basically that's what the crew or the team decided to call a program that's going to literally take the load of organizing and operating Heartland off of Jeannie and my back, and that there's a team of people who are working to open up and do some fundraising and to do the physical plant aspect of it, so that Jeannie and I can more focus on the development of the work and the global projects, the website demands. There's so much that I need to learn to build the brain cells on the website to start to use some of the new functionality that Susan and Danielle have put in there, that Alex is now helping with and working on. That there are just so many things, so many plates spinning. And so if you're interested in the 3H program, that's the Happy, Healthy, Healing Heartland program, there's a webpage being developed. There's a link on the site. I'm not sure exactly what stage the page is at this point, but it's set up so people can go and look at what work projects there are that can, if they choose to, donate to support the work being done at Heartland. We've actually set it up so that if someone's wanting to do an intensive, they can donate to the 3H program, and half of that will come to us for credit to the to an intensive in the future, and the other half will go into the fund to support the property at Heartland. So there are many aspects of this work to be done, and every one of them, when we put out a request, everyone who chooses to jump in, and again, Shirley, thank you for being willing to step up to the plate and help us to get those things entered so that we can take these 50-some-odd prisoners who are in you know, super high security, long-term imprisonment, and offer the support. And, you know, there's another whole world of transformation that's going to happen as a result of that piece of work. I see that work that's being done as we're redeploying the Laws of Living that was originally designed for the prison system, redeploying it in a different prison setting, where it's going to be non-threatening to the administration. You know, years ago we created this program and we were able to cut recidivism by 95%, and literally the sheriff threw it out because, of course, he had no prisoners left in his jail, and so, of course, didn't have funding to continue. But we've got a different scenario now with long-term incarceration, where we've been welcomed into the Ionia prison, and we acknowledge and appreciate the administration there for their willingness and their support in helping to open the doors and bring it forward to the minds, hearts, and beings and families within that system. And what develops out of that, who knows? It's pretty awesome. And in the meantime, we're down to just a few seconds left in the show, so I'll just say thank you to everyone for being with us, for your support, for your holding the space, the work you're doing, the contribution you're making in your lives and the lives of your families, your communities. It's an awesome privilege and honor to get to share with each of you. And we join with you and support you in creating the best year yet of your eternal lives. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Evolving continuously.